Well, a very good morning to you, and welcome again to our Sunday service. The theme today is dealing with the guilt of our sin forever. And as we think of the guilt of our sin being forgiven and taken away at the cross, we're going to attempt to share communion together. So if you have or can get some bread, something to drink, Pauline and I have got some Vimto here, in readiness for later in our service. Now thank you again for your contacts. It's lovely to hear from you. Keep them coming. This week we've heard from Terry, Martin and Kate and Jeanette, Salim and family, Graham Morris and Graham and Anne, and all are well, and we say thank you to our God and praise him for keeping us safe. Now we have a birthday this week, Graham Newby, and so sadly Graham, along with others, I'm afraid that you will have to bear the happy birthday solo. Just imagine, put your finger in your ear and imagine that there are lots of other people singing along. So, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Graham, happy birthday to you. Well, if you have your Bible with you, and would like to turn with me to Hebrews in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to read the opening 14 verses. Hebrews chapter 10. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all, and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased." And then I said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, 'I have come to do your will, O God.'" First he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made." Then he said, "Here I am. I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So I want to just speak for a few minutes before we take communion on what I've called the work that works forever. One of the things that seem to be getting people down a little bit during this lockdown is that every day feels the same. It's so repetitive. Certainly I struggle to know what day it is. This washing your hands over and over and over again, wouldn't it be wonderful if you could just wash them once and you'd be clean and safe, wouldn't have to wash them again. And in Hebrews 10 we are told about a very repetitive system that happened day after day after day, year in, year out, with never an end to it. It's an attempt to cleanse, to take away the stain and guilt of sin in a person's life. But it never works. Verse 1 tells us the law can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. These attempts that God gave to be obeyed, but these attempts to remove the guilt and stain of sin are described in that verse as a shadow of things to come. All we see there in these daily sacrifices in the Old Testament was just a picture, a model from God of the Saviour, Jesus, who is coming. Gave God's people an idea of what the real thing will be like, of what the real thing will do. But the Old Testament sacrifices didn't do it. And the evidence that these sacrifices didn't work is in the fact that they had to keep being offered day after day. Sin is a human problem. Sin entered the world through people, so only a human being can ever pay the price for the guilt of sin. Animals can't. Animals can't take our place. And so that's why we read there in verse 11, day after day every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. So I want to simply remind us from these verses of just how different the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus is to these repetitive sacrifices that never worked. And the first thing we see is that this sacrifice is what God the Father wills to happen. God the Father, we read, gave Jesus the Son a human body so that Jesus would do his Father's will. Verse 7, then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. Jesus offered an obedient life and an obedient death, Jesus himself dying as the sacrifice for sin. And with that, animal sacrifices were abolished forever. And then we see just how different Jesus' sacrifice is from all other sacrifices. Jesus sacrificed himself willingly. The animal had to be dragged to the altar. Jesus willingly went to the cross, laid himself on the cross, willingly gave up his life. Jesus is not forced to go to the cross. Look at the words of that verse 7 again. Here I am, Father. I have come to do your will. Here I am, willingly. And of course, Jesus' sacrifice was a once for all, forever sacrifice. Verse 10. By that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is just so different. The work that never has to be repeated is finished. It's all complete to make us right with God forever. But what was happening at the cross? What did Jesus do for us? Well, verse 10 says, "For the repentant sinner who comes to Jesus, God cleanses them, makes them holy." Now, when I say that word holy, don't have a picture in your mind of some kind of a saint walking around 12 inches above the ground with a big halo when you think of being holy. That's not it at all. Holy in the Bible simply means separated, given to God. So for our folk, I've reminded them before, as an example, Moses there at the burning bush was told, "Take off your shoes, for the place on which you stand is holy ground." Well, Moses looked around and he was just stood on another part of the scrubby desert. Just an ordinary bit of the desert. It was nothing special. It wasn't shining or anything at all. But that part had been selected by God, separated from other parts, made for God's work. And that's what holy means. And the Christian is not someone super saintly who walks around with a shiny polo mint halo. No, Christian is just an ordinary person, but special. And their specialness comes from the truth that God has chosen them to belong to Him, to be different, to serve Him, to love Him, to worship Him, consecrated, sanctified, used in His service. Can I ask you, if you coming to the Lord each day, asking in this situation that He would use you, that He would use you in some way, and then having asked Him, looking and expecting Him to provide an opportunity for you to serve Him, that telephone call, postcard, that help, that word with your neighbour over the fence. For at the cross, Jesus purchased a new relationship for us with Himself. Jesus says, "I will change you. I will put My word in your heart." And this change, you notice, is a change from the inside out, clean, made new. This terrible virus has made me look at the labels on all the cleaning stuff that I use, and I notice that it says on almost all of them that whatever is inside the bottle kills 99.9% of all germs and bacteria. But what about that 0.1%? Will that get me? None of them guarantee a complete work. But Christian, aren't you glad that God's cleansing is not like that? It's totally different. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross cleanses us from the guilt of all sin, forgiven forever. It's wonderful. If you are a true Christian listening to this, you cannot get more accepted to God than you already are. There's something in us that moves us still to try to make ourselves a little bit more acceptable to God. Try by doing this and that to win God's approval. But God has done it all. It's finished, complete forever. Jesus has done it all for you. So trust Him and worship Him and praise Him. So now in a moment, we're going to take communion together, the bread and the cup. But you know, taking communion doesn't take away sin. The same as being baptized doesn't do it. Going to church doesn't do it. These are things we do in response to the truth that the guilt of our sin has been removed by the one sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. What a wonderful thing it is to be forgiven forever. So as we come now, come with a fresh sense of wonder and thanks that you and I are forgiven. And as we remember Jesus' death on the cross, which bought our forgiveness, which bought our freedom from God's right and just judgment on our rebellion and sin, the judgment that each of us deserved, we rejoice and thank him that the price for our forgiveness is paid forever. So let's do that as we listen to this song, and I'll pause it part of the way through as we take the bread. Pause it there, and we remember now that Jesus said, holding the bread, do this in remembrance of me. So we do remember the price paid as each of us now takes this bread. We feed on Jesus with thanks by faith. And as we listen again at the conclusion of this song, we're going to drink together. So the song reminds us that here is bread, here's the cup, and together our communion brings to us the remembrance of the price that Jesus paid. So Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant, sealed with my blood, never be broken. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's drink together. And so now, our prayer, Father, we're here in this unusual way. We're physically apart, but we're bound together in our love and thanks for your salvation plan. And so, Lord Jesus, we bring to you our worship and sincere thanks for giving yourself so that rebellious sinners like us might go free. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would help us today to live with a joy in our hearts so that others might see the glory of salvation. Amen. And so thank you for joining us, and next time we will be thinking about the goodness of God. So now let's close with this great hymn that describes the work that works forever.